transcribed.
Reminiscing, I feel you near. Once more, you're my love of yesteryear.
Howdy, folks.
Yes, it is your old friend Singin' Sam. So let's just settle back and reminisce a bit. What do you say, huh?
With a nostalgic nod toward the Atwater Kent, we now present Same Time, Same Station, a chronicle of broadcasting's first half century.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Tonight, Jimmy Durante remembers radio. Chapter 1, The Early Years.
Ink, a dinkity, a dinkadoo, a dinkadee.
Oh, what a tune for crooning.
That's enough, fellas, I'll take it alone. A dinkadee, a dinkadoo. You know, boys, last week I sang for the Sultan of Passion, and the Sultan offered me his harem of 500 beautiful wives, but I turned them down, because when I get up every morning, who wants to find 1,000 stockings hanging in the bathroom? Not Durante. A dinkadee, a dinkadoo, a dinkadee. That note was given to me by Bing Crosby, and was he glad to get rid of it? Simply means a dinkadee, a dinkadoo.
Well, the early days was I got started down at Coney Island playing piano. I tried out down at the Coney Island. So the guy there, the boss there, says, we're only going to open 2 or 3 days a week. And so I says, I want $25 a week. And I said, I don't care what you do with it, you know, I'll stay. So I got the $25 for a couple of days a week. And then afterwards, I didn't know what I said. And it got to be that we used to wait from 8 o'clock at night till about 4 or 5 in the morning, and still for the same money. And Eddie Cantor was a singing waiter, and that was the first and last cafe that he played. And he was a singing waiter, and I used to help him out when he got busy. Funny thing about Eddie, he'd say, a party had come up to Eddie and said, do you know the hills of Kentucky? Well, Eddie would say, if he didn't know it, the guy gave him $2 or $3. So he come over and says, Jimmy, do you know the hills of Kentucky? And I says, I don't know the hills of Kentucky. And he says, let's sing it anyway to him. And he'd go over and he'd sing, yes, the hills of Kentucky far away. Yes, the hills of Kentucky far away. So the guy, he says, wait a minute, that ain't the hills of Kentucky. So Eddie with his big eyes would say, what? Are they two of them? You know? Yeah, and that was down at Coney Island. After that, I used to go from the island to work in Harlem in a place called the Alamo. And from Coney Island, go up there. Then in the summertime, he'd have a place at Coney Island called the College Inn, the owner of the place in Harlem. And used to start from there. It was a great, great time.
My name is Roy Bargy, and I'm retired from a long career in music. For many years, I was associated with Jimmy Durante as musical director and arranger. John Price has asked me for my impressions of Jimmy's music, but first a few words about how we got together might be of interest. For 12 years, 1928 to 40, I was with Paul Wyman's orchestra as solo pianist and arranger. About the last 6 years of that time, I was assistant conductor and chief arranger. I became quite familiar with Durante's singing style in the early 30s, having been one of a group of Whiteman musicians who enjoyed watching the antics of the famous trio Clayton, Jackson, and Durante in New York nightclubs, including their own Club Durant. These were Prohibition days, and the boys kept the entertainment going as long as the customers bought drinks. No closing times at Club Durant.
That was just speakeasy. We used to open at 12. You had to be known to get in. Open at 12 and go till about 7, 8, 6 in the morning. Yeah, I was doing probation. Funny thing about that, there was a guy downstairs was calling me. The guy wouldn't let him in downstairs. He didn't know the two fellas, so he says, call Durante. I used to have a big habit of saying, hello, I wouldn't know who I was talking to. I'd still do it now. Don't know who I'm talking to. So I came downstairs, it was upstairs, you know, and come down. I came down and there was there. He says, hey, Jimmy. He says, hello. So he says, hello. And I says, hello. So I bawled the doorman out for not letting him up and let him up. So anyway, to make a long story short, he bought me a drink. I bought him a drink. He put the drink in a bottle, and the next day the joint was padlocked. He was probation agents. So I never okayed anybody after that in all my life.
You gotta start off each day with a song. Now even when things go wrong, you feel better, you even look better. I'm here to tell you that you'll be a go-getter. Now the way that you shake my hand will tell me how I stand. Now isn't it better to go through life with a smile and a song than walking around with a face 11 miles long? Now you know that you can't go wrong. If you start off each day with a song, you've got to start off each day with a song.
Oh, sing it, Jimmy boy.
Even when things go wrong,
sing it for the hoi polloi.
You feel better, you even look better. Ah, that music, it does something to me. I wish I knew what it was. Last night I was telling Umbriago about my latest concerto called Tony's Pushcart. He said, Tony's Pushcart, how does it go? I said, it doesn't go, you have to push it. I got a million of them, a million of them. Now you know that you can't go wrong.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
If you start off each day with a song, you've got to start off each day. Boys, please, soft, soft, a little more fortissimo. I want to relate a yarn. Turn back the pages of history and what do you see? Madison Square Garden or Odale. And there I was, interviewing a prize-winning cow. I asked her to tell the radio public how she feels. She said, moo. She's contented. I'm contented, but her husband ain't. So what happened? The bull ups to me. I ups to him, and without any preliminaries, I'm flat on my back. Being a gentleman, I apologize. But the bull's not satisfied. He demands an autopsy. So I grabs him by the tail, and what happens? He flips his tail. I lands on his head. He flips his head. I lands on his tail. He's playing ping pong with me, and I'm losing. Just then, the bull is ready to charge again. I gets an idea. I start singing, south to the border, down Mexico way. And what happened? The bull starts crying. But irregardless, I keeps on singing. This time with the castanets. That's too much for the bull. He collapses. A cheer goes up. I'm saved, and the moral is, you gotta start off each day with a song. You've gotta start off each day with a song.
Oh boy, you're singing now.
Even when things go wrong.
Oh Jimmy, you're a wow.
You feel better. You know, I'm walking down Broadway and who taps me on the shoulder? My pal, hit him in the head, Schwartz. I said, who are you working for now? And he said, the same bunch, the wife and the kids. Now isn't it better to go through life with a smile and a song than walking around with a face 11 miles long? Now you know that you can't go wrong.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You start off each day with a song.
Well, Jimmy, you look worried. There's something on your mind. I wonder what it is.
Say, I just had an argument with Ziegfeld.
Ziegfeld?
Corner Broadway and 43rd.
Some corner.
You know, Ziegfeld said, do you know who I am? I said, do you know who I am?
What happened?
He said, who I am?
Yes.
I said nothing. I was cornered.
Cornered? Some corner.
But it makes no difference what I start out to say.
Why not, Jim?
Why, this is what I wish to convey.
What is it, Jimmy?
Now you know darn well I can do it out Broadway.
But?
But can Broadway do it out me?
No.
Why, Herald Square, Times Square, Columbus Circle, 96. Say, where am I? I must have passed my station.
Why, he's lost.
They must have found out at Times Square that I passed my destination.
Why?
They sent messengers all over to get me the head of celebration.
I get it.
You know, as I got off the express, some yokel pushes me into a local.
What happened?
The crowd, seeing a mistake, pulled the emergency brake and shouted,
why, there's Jimmy, that well-dressed man.
So you know darn well I can do without Broadway.
What?
But can Broadway do without me?
No.
Say, fellas, you remember when Eddie Leonard got sick?
Certainly.
I'll never forget the date.
Neither will I.
I'm sitting home when in comes another telegram which read...
What it read?
The only one who can replace Eddie Leonard is you.
You?
I went, and when I went, and how I went.
He's a winter.
Why, the applause was deafening as I started crooning.
It was, yes, sir. That's my baby. No, sir. I don't mean maybe.
No, no, that's not the song.
What was it, Jimmy boy? What was it?
For I love you, Ida Dee.
Ducks.
Why, Leonard gets well, all be thanks me. I'm not home 10 minutes when in comes another telegram which read...
What read?
Johnson topples over. Please take his place. Write your own ticket, Lee and Jake.
Schubert.
Well, I steps out on that stage and on one knee...
One knee.
Not on both knees.
No.
I gesinter.
I gesinter.
Rock-a-bye. My baby.
Sing it, Jimmy boy.
You know what one of those kind of... One of those kind of sunny boys.
Get on a knee.
He sings on one knee, that Jolson.
Yes, and as I'm brushing off that knee backstage, Schubert says, Jimmy, put in both knees
and
Jolson goes.
Take it easy, Jimmy boy. Please take it easy.
But being an old NVA man, artis for artis.
Artis for artis?
I know darn well I can do without Broadway.
What?
But can Broadway do without me?
No, no.
Hey,
can Broadway do without me?
Eddie Jackson's been with me for 40 years. Clayton, we met up at the Club de Ranch, 1923. He bought in. And that was the greatest move I ever made in my life. Because just through Clayton, you know, Clayton had the nerve, you know. Great. Had the nerve to ask for money, do our business and everything. I didn't have no nerve for that.
Prohibition came in, you see, when Roosevelt was elected in 32, in 33, the country went wet again. So that sort of dives that they played, you know. These speakeasy-type nightclubs like Texas Garden and the Club Durant all went out of business. So I rather think that the trio as such must have broken up about then.
And in June of 1949, the trio was together again, this time for a reunion on the Jimmy Durante radio show.
Things go wrong, you feel better, you even look better.
I'm glad that note came out. On the last X-ray my doctor took, it showed up as a safety pin.
Doretti, you must have swallowed your Longines watch. You're really kicking tonight.
But I'm going to revive the act I did 20 years ago with my two partners, Lou Clayton and Eddie Jackson. I'm at the piano. Clayton is polishing up his dancing shoes. And Eddie is out on the floor singing.
Won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home?
Sing it, Eddie!
Come on, the whole day long.
This boy is ready for silent
do
radio.
Took him down. I'll pay the rent. Honey, I'll know I've done you wrong.
Sing it like you get
paid. Remember that old rainy evening? You drove me out with nothing but a fine to call.
Yeah, when do I dance?
A little later, a little later.
The blame, honey, ain't the shame. Bill Bailey, won't you please come home?
Jim, when do I dance? Later.
Won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home?
Stop dancing now, Lee.
I'm on the whole day long. I'll
give everybody a chance.
Remember that rainy evening you drove me out with nothing but a pine to cone.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll notice while Lou is dancing that no time does his feet leave his ankle.
Bill Bailey, won't you please come? Come on, take us home.
Your voice is colossal tonight. And Lou, I haven't seen you dance like that in 25 years. Say something to the people. Don't just stand there, Eddie. Pump them up. Okay, fellas, let's keep rolling. There's a big Coca-Cola buyer in the house from San Badu. Hit it, Roy. Hit it. I know darn well I can do without Broadway, but can Broadway do without me? Square, Times Square, Columbus Circle, 96. Say, where am I? I must have passed my station. Stop the music. Stop the music. Hey, Lou, Eddie, remember the time I walked into the dressing room at the Palace Theater with a new pair of Sears and Roebuck slacks?
I'll never forget it, Jim.
Boy, were they tight. The first time I bent over, Sears and Roebuck dissolved partnership.
Boy, you were lucky BVB was still in business.
You're not kidding, Lou. I was. I was Jimmy, that well-dressed man. I set the style for the social clan. Till I showed Ronald Coleman how to dress to kill. He didn't know his Worcester from his English twill. I'm Jimmy, that...
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
You know, Jim, I heard you sing that song 25 years ago. And your voice is still the same.
Gee, thanks, Lou.
How do you like that? He thinks that's a compliment.
You know, fellas, it doesn't seem possible that 25 years ago, the three of us were around a little piano at the club that ran.
Yeah, and I was singing, so I ups to him, and he ups to me. Say it, and I ups to him, and I said, stranger, put up your hands. Defend yourself. Then I faints with my right, I faints with my left, I seize an opening. I'm flat on my back. So I ups to him.
Sing it, Jimmy boy. Sing it for the high boy. Sing it, Jimmy boy. Sing it, please. Sing it, Jimmy,
wait
Jimmy
a
boy.
Minute.
Sing it,
wait
Jimmy.
A minute. Take it easy. This is a reunion, not an audition.
Never mind him, Eddie. Eddie, go ahead. Sing the song that you did in the Ziegfeld Showgirl.
Certainly. I love the birds. They're pretty big.
Crosby, start packing.
I love the one that shines above because they all love you.
I'll take it. I love
birds, birds,
bees,
bees,
trees,
trees.
I love
park,
the park,
bench,
the
bench,
girl,
the girl.
Say I love
stop,
stop,
move,
rain,
rain.
I love each one beneath the sun.
Yes, Snaz, those were the days.
Yeah, what a time we had, mingling with the elite, the four of us.
The four of us?
Yeah, Clayton Jackson Durante and our interpreter. Now I know John well, I can do without Broadway, but can Broadway do without me?
No,
they can Broadway do without me.
Let me see now. That's a tough question. Now, you want to know the first time that I was on the radio. The first time I was on the radio. Now, I remember distinctly it was not about 1933 with Rudy Valley. Rudy Valley. And I was on his show about four or five times. And that was singing songs. And working with Rudy Valley on it. And I was on his show about four or five times.
As a summer replacement, Jimmy took over the Chase and Sanborn Hour in 1933. His songs and jokes continued into the fall programs.
November the 5th, 1933.
Ladies and gentlemen, good fortune has finally smiled on Jimmy Durante and his unfinished symphony, Inky Dinky Doo. Last week, he and his ever-faithful partner and butler, Meadows, received a $1,000 reward for saving a little boy from drowning. Last night, Mr. Durante attends a music hall, and as the scene opens, he is still asleep at the Durante Beach House.
Wake up, Mr. Durante. Wake up, sir. All right, what is it? Did you have a good time at the party last night?
So they say, Meadows. So they say.
If I'd known where you were, I would have come after you.
It's just as well you didn't, Meadows.
She didn't have a sister.
Oh.
If I may say so, sir, you made quite a bit of noise as you came in last night.
I couldn't help it. I had a tough time getting our piano back into the house.
You took the piano with you?
Certainly. The invitation said it was a musical. And a Durante always comes prepared.
Did any of the other guests play their compositions?
Yes. And boy, were they nervous. In fact, everybody there was nervous. Except me. I was numb.
Oh, my. Whose playing did the guests seem to enjoy most?
The sensation of the evening was an infant prodigy, only 3 months old. The crowd went wild when he sat on the floor and played with his toes.
Don't worry, Mr. Durante. Someday you'll be a sensation like that, too.
No, Meadows. I'll never be able to put my toes in my mouth like that baby did. But in spite of it all, I'll finish my symphony and live long and in Beethoven.
Your news reports are starting to come in over the telegraph instrument.
Give me the report, Meadows, and I'll read it. Flash, Boston, Massachusetts. Noted doctor says, if you chance to meet a sneezer, swat him promptly on the beezer. Thus you stifle his cadenza and avoid the influenza. Why don't a new strain come to me so I can finish my symphony? What are you looking for, Meadows?
A neighbor's Pekingese ran into the house. I think I'd better return him. Here, doggy, doggy, come along, little doggy. Come along, come along.
Meadows, I think you're headed for the last rounder.
Pardon me, sir. I'm going shopping now. Could you let me have some money?
Sure, Meadows. Wait a minute. Where is our money?
You have it, sir.
I know, but I can't find it. I've looked in every pocket but my vest pocket.
Why don't you look there?
Of course, if it ain't there, Meadows, I'll drop dead. Wait a minute, Meadows. I remember what happened to the money.
What?
Last night, a guy came up to me and he said, hands up. I said, you're not going to rob me, are you? And he said, no, my partner around the corner does that. I only deliver the anesthetic.
They robbed you? I thought you had a revolver with you.
Yeah, but they didn't find that.
Yes, sir. What are we going to do? Perhaps I can go shopping on your credit.
Meadows, my credit is so bad I can't even borrow trouble.
Another news report, sir.
Okay, I'll take it. Flash, El Paso, Texas. Woman gets divorced after testifying that her husband dropped snakes down her back. Meadows, it's getting so that the married man can't have fun anymore. Why can't a strain come to me? Meadows, I've been thinking it over. Last night's musical convinced me that there ain't no money in symphonies. All the musicians there had long hair. It seems they didn't even have the price of a haircut.
Mr. Durante, I've never wanted to complain before, but I'm getting rather tired of this poverty.
Listen, Meadows, from now on, no more poverty. I've come to a great decision. I'm going to take my symphony Inky Dinky Doo and make it into a popular song for the masses.
A popular song?
Yes, look at George Gershwin. He writes a new song and buys a country estate. Irving Berlin buys a new yacht. That settles it. I'm through with symphonies. After all, why should I live longer than Beethoven? Let him live his life and I'll live mine.
Splendid, Mr. Durante. What will you buy with all the money you make? A country estate?
I think I'll buy a bicycle.
A bicycle? Did you ever take a trip on a bicycle?
Once. Head over heels. Say, Meadows, we're going on a buying spree. Have all the salespeople in town come over here. I'm going to spend the money we're going to make on our song.
Very well, sir. Perhaps now I'll be able to get married. You know, I'd like to marry a jolly girl. A girl who can take a joke.
Then you stand a good chance of being accepted.
Another news report, sir.
Where? Salt Lake City, Utah. Man who has been married five times before marries woman who had also been married five times before. The wedding invitation read justly. Be sure to come. This is no amateur performance. How do you like that new strain, Meadows?
Yeah, da, da, da. Yeah, yeah, da.
How do you like it?
Splendid, sir. Splendid.
I thought you'd say extraordinary.
Then I'll say it, sir. Extraordinary.
You know, Meadows, I predict that by this time next week, I'll have my new voice of Inky Dinky Doo finished.
The salespeople you sent for us here, sir.
How do you do, Mr. Durante? I hear that you're in the market for an automobile. Now, we sell a car that actually pays for itself.
Fine. As soon as it pays for itself, send it around to me. Now for some clothes. Where's the tailor?
Right here, Mr. Durante. Here's a suit that is well tailored, a beautiful pattern, and it won't shrink because it's a good yarn.
A good yarn? And well told, my good man. Well told.
Mr. Durante, this suit isn't wool. There's a tag inside which says it's made of cotton.
That's only a decoy, Meadows. They put it there to fool the morts.
Mr. Durante, inasmuch as you'll soon be famous, why not have a painting of yourself? The artist is here.
Great idea, Meadows. I'll pose sitting under the piano.
Mr. Durante, would you like me to paint you in evening clothes?
No, I ain't particular. Just wear what you got on.
Pardon me, Mr. Durante. You've ordered quite a few things. We'd all like to be paid.
I'll pay you as soon as I finish writing my new version of Inky Dinky Doo.
What do you mean?
Gentlemen, little do you realize that everything I bought from you, I got for a song.
Who will be with you when I'm far away? Or when I'm... I hit that note, Ruben. Up. Now, who will be with you when I'm far? Take it, Meadows. No, I'll take it. I'll take it. All right.
See, you know a funny thing? I went into a restaurant yesterday and I ordered some soup. And when a waiter brought it to me, I said, "Waiter, this is cold. Bring me some hot soup." And the waiter says, What do you want to do with it? Burn my thumb?"
Hey, now, who will be with you when I'm far away? When I'm far away from you. Hey, now, who will be with you when I'm far away?
Listen to this high note, Meadows. Listen to it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, David.
David,
you know, an automobile salesman took a farmer for a ride. It was the first time the farmer was ever in an automobile. And they were going about 60 miles an hour when they crashed into a tree. The farmer picked himself up and said, "That was great. We sure went to pace." But tell me, stranger, how do you stop the darn thing when there ain't any trees around?
I got a million of them, a million of them. And how your nose blows, so the nose shows. Now watch the nose show, how the nose shows. And when the nose grows, then the nose knows. It's beauty, folks, beauty.
Next week, another Jason Sanborn Coffee Hour directs from Hollywood with Rubinoff, Miss Rubetting, and Jimmy Schnozzle Durante. Past, present, and future is from the picture Broadway Through a Keyhole. The Shadow Waltz is from the Gold Diggers of 1933, and Down the Old Ox Road is from College Humor. The makers of Jason Sanborn's coffee were, of course, among the first to sign the president's re-employment agreement.
When Jimmy's symphony was finished, he recorded it in the Los Angeles studio of Brunswick Records.
Folks, ain't that beautiful? My symphony, a masterpiece. I can hear you saying, "What is that haunting refrain that I hear in the air? Here and there, everywhere. It's just a beautiful strain that keeps haunting my brain constantly. It's my melody. It's my symphony. Ink, a dink-a-doo, a dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo. Oh, what a tune, what a tune for crooning. Ink, a dink-a-doo, a dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo. It's got the whole world spooning. Eskimo bells up in Iceland are ringing. They've made their own paradise land singing. Ink, a dink-a-doo, a dink-a-dee. A dink-a-doo simply means ink. A dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo. Listen to that melody. Listen to that melody. Why, it would add class to any concert. You know, I resent them playing my symphony and jazz. I resent it. But they're paying me for this, so I'm helpless. Really helpless. But if that's what the world wants, I'm your slave. So here it is. A dink-a-doo, a dink-a-dee, a dink-a-doo. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba a dink a doo, a dink a dee, a dink a doo. There's a little bit of Bing Crosby in me. Eskimo bells up in Iceland are ringing. Come on, Jimmy. Here comes the finish. Pep it up. Hit it. Dink. A dink a doo. A dink a dee. A dink a doo. What a voice. What a voice. Simply means it. A dink a doo. A dink a dee.
Good night, folks. And in all.
Texaco is on the air. Texaco service stations and dealers from coast to coast present the new Jumbo Fire Chief program. We are broadcasting from the sawdust ring of the New York Hippodrome, scene of the most spectacular theatrical venture of the time. An actual audience of 4,500 people is present, and we've asked them not to laugh or applaud so that you may better enjoy the program. The story is written by Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur, with original songs by Richard Rogers and Lawrence Hart. The cast stars Jimmy Durante as Brainy Bowers, Arthur Sinclair as John A. Considine, Blanche Ring as Mrs. Considine, Donald Novus as Matt Mulligan, APK as Jellicoe, Miss Gloria Grafton as Considine's daughter Mickey, Charles Henderson singing Razorbacks with Bob Lawrence, soloist, and Adolph Deutsch, musical director, all under the personal supervision of Billy Rose.
Then in 1934-35, Durante and Whiteman were starred in Billy Rose's Jumbo at the old New York Hippodrome, scored by Rogers and Hart. I conducted most of the show since Paul was kept pretty busy riding a white horse in the circus ring.
I was in Jumbo. Jumbo was playing the Hippodrome, and Heck and MacArthur started the series, and right in the series, then they got off, and a great writer by the name of Friedman, I think it was Friedman, took over. And that was a great show. It was really a great show.
Oh, with the Parasex, I want you to remember these words. Say it with flowers. Say it with sweet. Say it with artichokes. Say it with eat. Say it with jewelry. Say it with drink. But always be careful not to say it with ink.
Daddy, what's the matter? Where's Mother?
Mickey, everything is lost. She left me for good. You'd better get used to the thought that we're going to lose the circus.
Oh, Daddy.
I'm going outside to wait for the marshal. Maybe I can stay his hand.
Oh, what's the use? Sit there and count your fingers. What can you do?
I was associated with the New York radio show, having a policy of a different name, comedian guest star each week. Jimmy Durante was one of them. I had listened to Gary Moore's early morning show on NBC and liked his fresh material and youthful delivery. Knowing that the agency was looking for new and different talent, I suggested Gary's name to the account executive. Up to that time, he had not heard Gary. He had heard of him, but he had not listened to his performance. He then attended one of Gary's early morning shows as a member of the studio audience. And he must have liked what he heard, because he immediately booked him on the show for a solo appearance, and it was a very successful one. Then they got the idea of teaming the old pro, Durante, and the very young Gary Moore. They did very well as a team and got along just fine personally.
Yes. That happened in New York. And through that, we were on for about six shows. And through that, we got the series. And that series started in the 40s. And we were together there about eight years.
I'm Phil Cohan, and for 8 years, I had the great privilege of working with Jimmy as producer, director of his radio show, and co-producer of his first year in television. The show happened quite accidentally. I was directing a show called A Camel Caravan, a variety show, and Jimmy was a guest on it. And he was called back to be a guest, and so was Gary Moore, who was emceeing the show. And quite by accident, although neither of them had ever known each other or met each other, we subsequently were looking for a new show, and we put Gary and Jimmy together, the agency people and myself, and within 10 days we put a show together and got on the air in 1943 with Jimmy and Gary, who were practically strangers at that time, getting together on the show, and it worked out to be a very beautiful association.
My name is Gary Moore. And I had the great good fortune from the years 1943 through 1948 to be the partner of Jimmy Durante in a successful radio series. From it, I learned a great deal. First of all, let me say that I'm absolutely delighted to take part in any celebration of Jimmy Durante, because you notice I say a celebration of Jimmy Durante, not a celebration for him. Because Durante is something to be celebrated. He is a national treasure. There's only been one. There'll never be another. When Jimmy and I were first teamed together, it was not by our searching each other out. And I was on the air for NBC in New York, daytime sustaining, and that's about as low as you can get and still be on the network, and trying to make a name for myself. And Jimmy had been somewhat in eclipse in the mass media at that time, large largely this was due to the fact that his first wife had been quite ill, and Jimmy had sort of withdrawn from the national picture so as to be near her and to be with her, which was very typical of him. And so he'd been away from, let's say, movies or radio. Of course, there was no television in those days. And he was thought of as a fellow who had sort of disappeared and had his day and was a nice memory. And somebody at that time put together a show called the Camel Comedy Caravan. It was a terrible show. It was a terrible idea. The idea was that if one comedian was funny, two comedians were twice as funny, and three comedians were three times as funny. So the show consisted of about eight comedians in a row, one right after the other. And, of course, this is not a good format. You're bound to kill each other off because you can't keep topping each other. But in any event, on a given night, Durante, as a sort of nostalgia piece, was brought back to do a spot. And I, as a new kid in town, was brought on to sort of represent what's new, what's going on in the new young comedian. Now, at that time, I was very much of a stand-up comedian, although of a rather whimsical sort of an early Bob Newhart, I guess you'd say. But in any event, it was one of those nights when we both got lucky. And you have to have luck on a given night. It's like a pitcher in a ball game. Sometimes you're good and sometimes you aren't. But on this particular night, we were both we both got lucky. We both had good individual spots. Then at the end of the show, they put me and Durante together in a sketch. And our styles, our contrasting styles, made kind of an interesting combination. And I was glib and articulate, and Jimmy was Jimmy. And an advertising man named Tom Luckenbill thought at the time, gee, that would make an interesting combination. Shortly thereafter, Lou Costello of the team of Abbott and Costello fell ill, and the Abbott and Costello show had to go off the air. It had been very popular in radio. It had to go off the air rather precipitously, and so they needed an instant replacement. Well, out of that sprung a forced marriage of Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore. And we didn't know each other. And to me, Jimmy, whom I had never seen in his real heyday, the days of Clayton Jackson and Durante, the days when they became a living legend at an early, fairly early age for them. And to me, Jimmy was a has-been. If you can imagine the arrogance of a 26, 27-year-old fellow thinking in those terms. And, of course, to Durante, I was utterly nobody. Who was this punk kid that I never heard of, struggling away in daytime radio at an hour that Durante wasn't even out of bed. I was on at 9 o'clock in the morning. So, in any event, we were teamed.
That's the way the Durante Moore show got started, and it was Sun sold a Camel cigarettes and went on the air in half-hour segments.
Hello, Gary Moore speaking.
Hello, Gary, this is Jimmy.
Jimmy Durante, where are you?
I'm home, taking a bath. But the door on the locked room door? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Jimmy,
I got a carbon copy. It's
going to be a long night tonight. Jimmy Durante, where are you?
I'm home taking a bath. But the lock on the bathroom door is broken.
Well, suppose it is. What's taking you so long?
Junior, did you ever try to take a bath leaning against the door?
Yes, from Hollywood, it's the nose and the haircut. Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore. With Suzanne Ellers, Roy Bargy and his orchestra, and yours truly, Howard Petrie. Brought to you by 10,000 Rexall drugstores, who carry the complete line of top quality Rexall drug products. Ladies and gentlemen, this week the editors of Life magazine took a look at the young co-star of our show and decided that his picture should be on the cover of Popular Mechanics. And here he is, Gary Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, my friends. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. A very jolly May the 23rd to you all. And as for you, Howard, my little Tooraloural, and when I say Tooraloural, I mean it's quite a tour around your luo. It doesn't matter in the least to me what the editors of Life think of me. I'm starting my own magazine pretty soon.
Oh, really? What's the name of it?
Well, you've heard of 17, the magazine for young girls, Vogue, the magazine for women, and Esquire, the magazine for men.
Yeah.
Mine is called the magazine for schmoes. Quite a thing. It's one of those pocket magazines, Howard. I haven't got time for one of those big ones like the Saturday Evening Post or the Home Companion.
Home Companion? Home Companion? I've got to have a home companion!
Here! Well, gee, that poor Tommy Manville. His subscriptions run out so quickly. But getting back to my magazine, Howard.
Yeah, tell me something, Gary. If it's going to be like the Reader's Digest, is it going to have one of those articles like the most unforgettable character I ever met?
Well, almost like it, Howard. I'm going to have an article written by a cannibal. It's called The Most Unforgettable Reader I Ever Digested. I distinctly heard a groan down there. Quite nice, but the most important of all, Howard, the most important thing in the magazine is the advertising. I'm going to have all the famous ads that people like to read. Like the one that says,
she's lovely, she's engaged, she uses soap.
And thank you, Marjorie Maine.
But, Gary, if it's one of those little magazines, you won't have much room for those big ads.
Well, we're going to have to cut them down a little, of course, Howard. Instead of a farmer holding up a tobacco leaf, I only have a midget holding up a cigarette butt. And the Men of Distinction ads will simply become... And thank you again, Marjorie Maine.
Okay, Gary, so you're going to have ads, but what about popular appeal? You just got to have some movie stuff in there.
Oh, that we'll have too, Howard, a weekly movie section. And in my first issue, I'm carrying some wonderful news. They're planning a sequel to that new Van Johnson picture, High Barbaree, entitled...
Low Kumquats.
Isn't that great? And I'll bet you folks thought that High Barbaree was a story about a tall lady barber. Well, before I talk about my magazine, we can always turn to America's favorite pin-up boy, Jimmy Durante, in person.
It all happened in 1 year. He got into the Copacabana in New York, which was a big nightclub then. At the same time as we started the radio show, he got a contract from MGM to, that's how we got to the coast, all of us eventually, to make pictures and with Van Johnson and June Allison, and he did a whole series of maybe five movies out here for MGM, so he had a tremendous revival.
It was rather strange for the first 6 months. We were like two wrestlers sort of circling each other slowly, each of us waiting for the other to make a false move. And neither one of us really too crazy about the whole idea. After a period of 6 months, just through daily being together, it came to me that there was not a mean bone in Durante's body. It came to him, apparently, that I was a great fan of his, which I had become since knowing him. And a feeling of mutual affection and trust sprang up.
Jimmy Durante certainly has a music style all his own, and probably the best examples are the up-tempo tunes such as You Gotta Start Off Each Day with a Song. There are many others, most of them special material and very old. A few examples are Jimmy the Well-Dressed Man, Can Broadway Do Without Me, Who Will Be With You When I'm Far Away, to name just a few. They all call for strong two-beat-to-the-bar rhythm, played at a bright tempo and ideal for the famous Durante shuffle exit with hat in hand, a Durante trademark. The harmonic structure is very simple, with the usual chord changes and almost always in the key of C. One reason for that being that Jimmy likes that key for playing the piano. The song most people associate with Durante is Inka Dinka Doo, best played at a medium tempo, much slower than the up-tempo tunes, but still with a good beat. We used Start Off Each Day as an opening because it got the show off to an exciting start and was also ideal for several Durante jokes. On cue, the band softened down to strings and light rhythm and came up strong after the punchline to cover the laughs and applause. Jimmy's next line was usually, "Let me hear that band," and we really let him hear it until the next joke.
Wait a minute. Who gave Lassie a ticket? I don't mind Lassie being here, but she's got the first four rows filled with puppies. But, Gary, right after the program tonight, I got a surprise for you.
Oh, what is it, Jim?
I want you to come over to my house for a wild duck dinner.
Oh, I'm crazy about wild duck. Is it going to be a formal dinner? I mean, will it be appropriate to wear a black tie?
Indeed it will. The duck is dead. After I shot five times and missed, it died laughing.
Practicing in your backyard, were you?
Are you joshing, Junior? Why, I just got back from a four-day hunting trip through the wilds of Pismo Beach. I was really roughing it. I carried a hunting knife, a shotgun, a vacuum cleaner, a raffle baker, a Murphy bed, and a set of hair curlers. Murphy is very fussy about his hair.
You were really roughing it, eh?
You said it. For 3 days, I lived on nothing but milk from a Persian cat.
Oh, wait a minute, Jimmy. How do you get milk from a Persian cat?
You take away the saucer. Durante, you should be on the radio. But believe me, Junior, I was desperate. Why, if I hadn't shot a beaver, I'd have starved to death.
A beaver? Jim, they're no good for food. Hunters make hats out of beavers.
They make hats out of beavers? Why, that's amazing.
What's amazing?
How do they train them to stop growing at 6 7/8?
Weak oval team. I don't know. I'm sorry I brought the whole thing up. But the most amazing...
Wait a minute. That's my line. He not only gets to laugh, he takes him a straight line, too.
Sorry, Jim, what were you saying?
I said the most amazing experience of my entire hunting trip occurred on the fourth day. I found the loveliest little babbling brook. And in no time at all, there was two salmon frying over an open fire. Just then I heard a footstep behind me and a voice said...
Just a minute, Bud. Can't you see that sign, no fishing allowed?
I wasn't fishing, Mr. Game Warden.
No. Then how did those two salmon get into your frying pan?
Suicide pact. They'll do anything to get away from Del Monte.
Well, them salmon are under 14 inches. Throw them back, wise guy. And the next time I catch you pulling them in under 14 inches, I'll give you a salmon.
Well, Gary, where did he go? He must have fell in a crack. Well, Gary, I threw the salmon back, and then a strange thing happened. The most beautiful creature I ever saw stepped out of the river, brushing the water out of her long golden tresses and her fig leaves. She turned to me and said,
"Hello. Where have you been all my life?"
Wait a minute. How tall are you?
5'4½".
Thank goodness. For a minute, I thought I'd have to throw you back.
Man, aren't you?
If I'm not, I'm sure fooling my scoutmaster. Pardon me for mentioning this, but you need a new dress. That one you got on is worn down to the shoulders.
I've never seen a man before. Look into my eyes. deep into my eyes.
Which part, the whites or the yolks? He's got me under a spell.
I'm mad about you. I love your hair. I love your eyes. I love your cute little button nose.
Button nose? Or is you making a molehill out of a mountain?
Oh, you do like me, don't you?
Like you? You're the best thing I ever caught with the bait I got.
I want you to love me.
What can I do? I'm under a spell.
Oh, if I could dream. Where did that lovely piano come from?
Poetic license. Which is out of Petrilla's jurisdiction. But let's talk about you, my little wood nymph. Tell me about yourself. Your dreams. Your struggles. Your telephone number.
I have no telephone. I'm a creature of nature. The forest is my home. The wooded valleys are my dining room. The weeping willows are my boudoir.
Have you got a vacancy downstairs? Or just a little place to hang my hat and a few friends?
Oh, you must forgive me if I seem impetuous. No man has ever been in these mountains before. And when you play like that, it does something to me. I can't fight it any longer. Kiss me. What? What are you thinking?
Somebody has been in these mountains before. Take a girl, a ring, a little I do.
Oh, yes.
A house in the country, but just me and you. And if soon there will be one, two, or three.
Be with us next week for another nostalgic look at radio of yesteryear.
And now it's just about time we were picking up our memories and moving along our way. I hope you've enjoyed listening to these songs and the memories that go with them as much as I've enjoyed bringing them to you. And I'll be keeping my weather eye peeled, yes, sir, looking for you all to join us the next time we drop around this way for a friendly little get-together. And I hope that'll be real soon, folks. And until then, this is your old friend Singin' Sam saying goodbye for now.
Same Time, Same Station is produced for KRLA News and Public Affairs by John Price. Special research by Martin Halpern. And I'm Bill Browning. Next week, Chapter 2 of Jimmy Durante's radio memoir.
I know you won't want to miss it, so be sure to be with us next week at this same time, same station.